Back to our study of Exodus, we are in chapter 7, and we're going to pick up with verses 8 and 9. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent.
And so now he's getting ready to go in. The Lord's prepared him, getting his courage up to where he can talk to him. He says, Now take the rod with you. Don't ever go without God, okay? You take the rod with you. You've seen what the rod does, so throw the rod down. Or have Aaron to throw it down, and it'll turn into a serpent.
And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent.
You understand there's an element of faith involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go before, and when he asks you for a sign, throw your rod down. And you got to believe that this is going to work, okay? And so he does, and when Pharaoh asks for a sign, he throws his rod down, or Aaron throws the rod down, it becomes a serpent.
Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods.
Now, this is something to really pay attention to, because I've heard people say the devil has no power. That's not true. The devil has power.
Yeah.
But according to Matthew 28:18, he doesn't have authority because Jesus has it all. Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth is given to him. And so it's not that Satan doesn't have power, he just doesn't have authority. And so these magicians and the sorcerers and all, they're working under the influence of the devil, you understand? And so they have that ability, they can throw that rod down and that rod becomes a snake. But then God makes a statement. Aaron's eats theirs.
Mm-hmm.
God's power will trump any other power, you understand. So this is exactly what happens.
And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
Now, so Pharaoh says, well, my guys can do that. So he hardens his heart, just like the Lord said he would. He's not going to let the people go. He's not going to listen to Moses.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goes out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's bank, the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shall you take in your hand.
So the Lord says, all right, now I want you to go early in the morning when Pharaoh goes down to the river. I want you to go down there and meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Take the rod, the one that turned into a serpent. So that tells me that they had it back.
Mm-hmm.
As a rod, not as a snake, okay? And so they go down, and he says, now what you're going to do is you're going to tell Pharaoh, if he doesn't pay attention to you, listen to you, that you're going to turn that river into blood. And you have Aaron to stretch his rod out to do it.
And they shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus said the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river.
I think this is more major and catastrophic than people think. You just said, well, he turned the water into blood. No, he turned their source, their reservoir, that's turned into blood, and the result of that, or is going to, the result of that will be anything in that water dies. And so it's not only providing water for them, it's also providing food for them as far as the fish and all that. All of it's going to die. So you're going to be without drinking water. And you're going to experience a shortage in some food here and some fish and things of this nature. And so Pharaoh has this choice. Will I do what they're telling me to do, knowing what the consequences are going to be? Or will I rebel? Okay.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.
You think about this. Notice he said, tell Aaron to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You stretch out your rod, not only the river, but the streams, the ponds, but not only that. Any water that you have sitting around in a basin is going to turn into blood. So imagine having a pitcher of water sitting there that you're drinking water, and now it's blood. So this thing's bigger than I think people realize.
I can't even imagine that.
Well, it's beyond our imagination, really, if you think about it.
And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt.
So, Aaron did what Moses told him to do, and what God said would happen, happened. The waters turned into blood. Now, they're giving you an end result here, too, where the fish die and all this. Because when you get into the next verse, it sounds like they maybe fast-forwarded or should have incorporated this somewhere else or something.
And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said.
And so the bottom line was, when Aaron stretched his rod out for the water to turn blood, the Egyptians did, sorcerers, magicians, whatever, they did the same thing. So here's the bottom line. They were able to turn water into blood, just like Aaron had turned water into blood by obeying God. So here you're seeing demonic power displayed running parallel to the power of God. Okay? But don't be afraid of the demonic power. Because God's power is greater.
Mm-hmm. So Pharaoh turned and went to his house, and neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians dug around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river.
So when Pharaoh saw what happened, you know, magicians could produce that, he just went home, went back to his house. Now, here's the result. The Egyptians don't have water, so they're going to have to start digging wells. And so that's what they're having to do to get drinking water, because they couldn't drink water from any of the river supply or sources.
And 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river.
And think about that. 7 days, the river's blood. Would you want to drink it the eighth day? But just as God has the ability to turn it into blood, he also has the ability to turn it back into water. You understand?
Wow. So chapter 8 describes the plagues of the frogs, biting flies, and mosquitoes. Okay. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your borders with frogs, and the rivers shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, and into your bedchamber, and upon your bed, and into the house of your servants, and upon your people, and then into your ovens, and into your kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on you, and upon your people, and upon all your servants.
So the Lord says, all right, go back. Go back to Pharaoh. Tell him, let the people go. If he doesn't let my people go, then I'm going to inflict your borders with frogs. The river will be filled with frogs, but not only that, they'll leave the river and come into your house. Not only that, they'll come into your bedchamber and on your bed. They'll enter into your officials' houses and to your people's houses. And they'll enter into your ovens, into your kneading troughs where you're making your bread. And the frogs will come up to you and your people and all your officials. Now, I don't think I would want, I know, I wouldn't want frogs.
Mm-mm.
In my house.
Mm-mm.
Definitely not in my bed. And I know I wouldn't want them in my oven and where you're preparing food and things, you understand?
Mm-mm. It's bad. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt.
So the Lord tells Moses, tell Aaron, you take that rod in your hand. Note, this is a rod of God now.
Yeah.
You take that rod and you stretch it out over the rivers and the marshland. And frogs are going to come forth and on the land of Egypt, and they're going to cover the land of Egypt. And Aaron did what he was told. Now think about this. We're talking about a nation. You're going to stretch that rod out, and all those frogs are going to come and cover the nation. Pretty profound when you think about it. Shows you the power of God. What's happening? The Word. When you stretch the rod out, you're just fulfilling the Word of God. And when you fulfill the Word of God, what that Word says is coming to pass.
Yeah.
And so those frogs cover the land. Just like the rivers turn to blood.
And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt.
Now the magicians are able to do the same thing. This has intrigued me about this, that they're aiding and assisting in the destruction of their own land.
Yeah.
So they're turning water into blood. So they're bringing frogs on the land.
That's a good point. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord.
Well, now those frogs are getting Pharaoh's attention. He says, all right, you go out and intercede, and ask the Lord to take these frogs away, and then we'll let you go sacrifice.
So we don't see that he went to his sorcerers to get rid of the frogs. They can do it, but they can't undo it, apparently.
And Moses said, right? Am I missing something? And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou may know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only.
You'd wonder why he didn't say immediately. Moses says, all right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the honor. You tell me when you want these frogs to leave. He said, tomorrow. Man, I'm thinking, I'm going to leave right now, you know.
Now's a good time.
Moses says, all right, tomorrow these frogs are going to go back in the river. They won't be anywhere else. Now, they'll be in the river, but they will not be anywhere else. And you think God doesn't have power over what he created? You think God doesn't have power over the frog to tell the frog, get back in that river?
Something. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh.
So they go from Pharaoh, they intercede to the Lord and remove the frogs that he brought against Pharaoh. In other words, they're being honorable, you understand?
And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields.
So all these frogs died. The only frogs that remain is the frogs in the river. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now here's something else that's going on. The entire nation is witnessing these phenomenal things that are taking place. You follow me? And so by the time this is over, Moses and Aaron have a pretty tremendous reputation throughout the land of Egypt. They're held in high honor. You'll mess with those guys.
Mm. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stunk. Ugh.
Man, I can't imagine that. All those frogs all over the land. Yeah, there would be an offensive odor in the land, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said.
So when he gets relief from all these frogs, hardened his heart, no, you're not going anywhere. But he doesn't let the people go.
And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
You know, the King James Version says lice, but that's not your Hebrew definition. It's, from what I can see, it's biting flies. Okay, and so God tells Moses to tell Aaron, you hit the ground with that rod, and when you do, then these biting flies are going to come upon the land of Egypt. Aaron did what he was told. They came on the people, and they came on the animals. So the dust of the land of Egypt becomes biting flies. Have been bitten by a fly?
Yeah, horse fly.
Like a deer fly, horse fly, whatever. Man, it's not pleasant, is it?
No.
No.
It's no joke. You see how horses react. Those suckers are crazy. I mean, it's bad. I don't know. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, and they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast.
So the devil's power has come to a halt. He's no match for God. These sorcerers are trying to duplicate what Aaron's doing, and they can't do it. And so they have to admit, because they can't do that, they have to admit that it's the Lord. This is God that's doing this. But Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. He wouldn't listen to them because that's what the Lord said was going to happen, right?
Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said.
So here again, the Lord tells Moses, get up early, meet Pharaoh as he goes down to the river, and you tell him again, the Lord said to let my people go and serve me.
And in verse 21, else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians, shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow shall be this sign. Tomorrow shall this sign be.
So up to now, the Israelites are experiencing what the Egyptians are experiencing through these plagues.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've been out of line, so they're experiencing some stuff, okay? But now the Lord says, I'm going to make distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And so you tell Pharaoh, these swarms of mosquitoes are going to come all over the land of Egypt, but they're not going to be in Goshen. The Israelites will not be affected by that. Only the Egyptians will be affected by it.
Have y'all ever seen a swarm of mosquitoes? I have seen it in Florida. And Holland was outside. And it was total
black.
Mm-hmm. I felt so sorry for that child. I mean, she was miserable for days afterwards. She swelled up from those things. The Lord's not playing around.
It is a mosquito coast. But nothing can compare to what this plague is.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's minor compared to what this is.
And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies.
So this massive swarm of mosquitoes cover the land of Egypt, but they're not in Goshen. God makes a distinction with his people. And so I say this, his people may go through some things, but then they're not going to go through everything. You understand? If they stay true to God, you know, just weather the storm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be accusing God.
Verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?
Never compromise what God has said.
Yeah.
God had started from the very beginning to go into the wilderness 3 days journey. Take everything, people and your animals, your livestock. Well, when this thing hits with these mosquitoes, Pharaoh's wanting some relief. He says, all right, I'll cut a deal with you. You get rid of the mosquitoes. I'll let you worship in Egypt. I'm not going to let you go to the wilderness, but I'll let you worship in Egypt. Moses said, no, that's not going to work. That's not part of the deal. If we sacrificed in Egypt, your people would stone us because it would be disgusting to them. So, no deal. No deal. We're not going to buy into that.
We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me.
Pharaoh wants some relief. He says, okay, now go ahead in the wilderness. Don't go far, but go ahead in the wilderness and sacrifice to your God. Just intercede that we get rid of these mosquitoes.
Mm. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.
Now, Moses, he's been honorable here. He says, all right, he intercedes to the Lord. He tells Pharaoh, tomorrow, these mosquitoes will be gone from the land of Egypt. And so before he left him, he said, now don't mock us. Don't prevent us from sacrificing to the Lord. Now, why would he say that? Because Pharaoh's developing a track record, you understand, that he's a liar, he's not good for his word, that when he gets relief, he reneges on his promise. So Moses says, don't mock us.
And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one.
So when Moses leaves Pharaoh's presence, he does what he says. He intercedes to the Lord that these mosquitoes will leave the land. Now, this is absolutely incredible to me. It says not one was left in Egypt. Can you imagine that? I mean, all these mosquitoes covering the land, and he says, all right, they'll all be gone tomorrow. And he says not one was left in Egypt. Man. If that won't make you believe in the power of God, I don't know what will.
And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go.
So he's keeping his track record up, right? Mosquitoes are gone. Nope, you can't go. I got relief. Now you can stay here. But understand that all of Egypt is feeling the ill effect of this. Egypt is being judged. You understand, all these people who've been taking advantage of the Israelites, taskmasters that's been beating them and all, they're feeling the brunt of this. They're feeling the judgment of God.
So chapter 9 reports the plagues of severe diseases on the animals, boils on the both people and animals, the destruction caused by hail, and God's distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. So, the first three verses. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, but behold, the hand of the Lord is upon your cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous murrain.
So here we get another visit to Pharaoh, right? So they go in to Pharaoh and tell him that the Lord said to let his people go so they could serve him. And he warned Pharaoh. He says, if you refuse to let these Israelites go and serve God, then the hand of the Lord is going to move against you Egyptians, your cattle in your field, your horses, your donkeys, your camels, your oxen, your sheep, all of them will be affected by this severe disease.
And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel.
And then he says, now, I'm going to make a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. This disease will only affect your livestock. It's not going to affect the livestock in Goshen. That's the God of power.
And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land.
So Moses just told him, you know, or Aaron, tomorrow this disease will begin.
And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one.
So the livestock of Egypt dies as a result of this plague.
And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go.
So he was investigating.
Mm-hmm.
But when he checks out the land of Goshen, the Israelites, none of their livestock has been affected by this, yet Egypt has lost all their livestock. Well, you'd think that'd send a message, but it says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he still wouldn't let the people go.
And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast.
So they're told to go to the furnace, get a handful of ashes, and in the presence of Pharaoh, while Pharaoh is watching you, then you scatter these ashes toward heaven, and these ashes are going to turn into small particles that's going to fall on the Egyptians and cause boils to break out on the bodies of the people and the animals. So Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded and scattered the ashes toward heaven as Pharaoh watched. And did just exactly what God said, turned into small particles, and caused boils to start spreading on the bodies of the people and the animals.
And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil upon the magicians and upon
not only are they not producing, they can't even stand there because they're ill affected by it.
Yeah, that's serious. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses.
And so when you look at this, where the Lord's hardened Pharaoh's heart, Egypt has not yet been punished enough for what they've done to my people. And so the Lord says hardened his heart, and he wouldn't let the Israelites go, because Pharaoh was stubborn, just like the Lord told Moses said he would be.
And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus said the Lord God, the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me.
Have you noticed that it's always been get up early?
Mm-hmm.
You get up early and go meet him, and you mm-hmm. go tell him what said to let my people go and serve God.
Mm-hmm. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth.
You know, up to now, these plagues have been spread out. This one, then this one, then this one. The Lord says, this time I'm going to send my pestilences, and they're going to touch the heart of Pharaoh's official and all the Egyptians. They're going to know that there is no one in all the earth like the God of the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get rapid fire on this, okay?
For now I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
So the Lord said to Moses, you tell Pharaoh, I could have stretched my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence that would have destroyed you from the earth. However, I've placed you as the king of Egypt to demonstrate my power so that my name will be remembered throughout all the earth. We remember his name, right?
As yet exalted thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die.
So God sends another message to Pharaoh. He says, you still set yourself in opposition to my people, and you'll not let them go. You pay attention. This time tomorrow, I'll cause a very severe hail to come down on Egypt, and the severity of this hail has never been seen in Egypt, and from the time it was established. Now, here's the fairness of God. God says, all right, now, if you want to save your livestock and your servants, you better get them inside. Because anything that's in the field, man or animal, is going to feel the result of the severe hail and will be destroyed.
He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses.
Now, these diplomats, these officials of Pharaoh, they're catching on to this thing. This is not something to play with. They get their servants and their animals out of the field so they'll be protected from this hail.
And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field.
Those that didn't pay attention suffered the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Servants killed, animals killed.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt.
Okay, so Moses does what God tells him, and we'll find in our next session, because our time's up, that the hail is going to come upon the land of Egypt, and we'll pick back up with that, okay, in our next session.
Okay.
You know, man just thinks, first thought, well, Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you live before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week and weekend. How's that?